A scripture reading this morning before we sing our congregational prayer to our prayer to God to open our hearts is from Matthew, continuing our study, 6:25-34. The verses will be up on the screen if you don't have a copy of the scriptures in front of you. Hear God's word. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, and they neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, be not anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. May God bless the reading of his word to our hearts and help us to live it and obey it. Today, as we dive into the scriptures once again, out of Matthew 6, 5, 6, and 7, getting close to the end, sort of. It's been a great and challenging study. Pray again. Father, speak to us through your Spirit's book. I know, Lord, that I catch myself worrying. And I'm sure all of us today could say, yep, I worry, I fret, and it takes away my zeal, it takes away my energy of seeking the kingdom. It reveals that my treasures are on earth and not in heaven. It reveals that my eyes are not singly devoted to Jesus, and it reveals that my master is not Jesus. Lord, this study has shown me how far I have to go, and I thank you for that. Awaken us today that we might be better servants in your kingdom. As we just sang, leaving your spirit here until the work is done. There's work to be done through your servants. And I pray that you would charge us today with that truth and speak. In Christ's name, amen. Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy. In every life we have some trouble, but when you worry, you make it double. Don't worry, be happy. Ain't got no place to lay your head. Somebody came and took your bed. Don't worry, be happy. The landlord say your rent is late. He may have to litigate. Don't worry, be happy. Look at me, I'm happy. Don't worry, be happy. Here, I give you my phone number. When you worry, call me. I make you happy. Don't worry. Be happy. Ain't got no cash. Ain't got no style. Ain't got no gal to make you smile. Don't worry. Be happy. Because when you worry, your face will frown, and that will bring everybody down. Don't worry. Be happy. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't do it. Be happy. Put a smile on your face. Don't bring everybody down. Don't worry. It will soon pass. Whatever it is, don't worry. Be happy. And the last line of the song says, I'm not worried. I'm happy. All of you have heard that song, correct? Don't worry. Be happy. Oh, if it were only that simple. And did you see the motive behind that song? It's all for self. 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 And don't you dare worry and have a frown, because other people, you're going to take them down. I've heard even godly people on the radio talk about worrying and saying things that I've never read in the Bible. One man said, if you have struggled with worry, take 15 minutes every day, go into a closet and worry for 15 minutes, and then the rest of the day, just forget about it. You know what that's saying? Go in the closet and sin for 15 minutes. Wow. The answer for anxiety. If only I could stop worrying. Can you identify? We all can, can't we? Most all of us can. Some will do anything, pay any amount, take any substance in their body to get them to stop worrying. And many people believe the Bible's out of date. God did not have a clue what he was doing when he wrote this book so long ago, about the year 2016. There are problems we face that God never knew. There are difficulties in our mind that we face that God must have never known. What a tiny view of the creator of the universe. But many people, many believing Christians believe that. That God cannot help me when I worry. God's book is not relevant today. So therefore I go to this person, or this substance, because he cannot help. But Jesus spoke of it on the Sermon on the Mount, about worry and anxiety. And usually we approach these passages and we get some encouragement and we get some hope about worry, but it soon fades and we're right back where we were. It'd be interesting if all of us would just come up here one at a time and we'd just share what we worried about this week. We're not going to do that because I ain't telling you what I worried about this week. But all of us could do it, couldn't we not? Sure. What did we worry about? And I think the reason why we get a little bit of a temporary relief is because we see a passage, but we don't hear it, and we don't do what the passage says. We don't see it in context. We don't see it with the verses before, and we don't see it with the verses after. We don't see it in the context of the book. We don't see it in the context of the covenant it was written in. We don't see it in the context of the entire Bible. And hopefully today we can see that. And what's amazing, in context, we see that our anxiety and our worries are directly related to our treasure. What we saw last week, verses 19 to 24. It is directly related to what we're seeking, is directly related to our treasure. So I have a statement up here, which is sort of my theme statement for this whole message. I can seek God with all my being, knowing that he will take care of me. That is the answer for worry. You're nuts. That is not going to help me when I'm worrying. It's not going to help my stomach when it gets ripped apart, and my mind when it's going all different places. But that's what Jesus said. Seek my Father's kingdom first, knowing that he will take care of you. Be anxious for nothing. So look at verses 25 to 30. You are valuable to your Father. You're valuable to your Father. Look at the first verse there. Therefore, why is that there? It points us back to the previous verses. Therefore, I tell you, and here is the command, present active command, continually be anxious. Do not be anxious about your life. So therefore, right away, we know that our worries and our anxiety are connected with the previous verses about what is our treasure. Is our eye singly devoted to Jesus? And who is our master? Jesus or things? The kingdom of heaven or things? So you can go to the bank that if you're a worrier and you're worrying today, that it is directly related to your treasure. Therefore, because of what I have just told you, I am now telling you, do not be anxious about your life. Don't be seeking treasures that are on this earth. Don't worry. And notice how he puts it in this triplet, sort of, almost said triplet, couplet. That doesn't sound right, does it? Three things. Don't worry and be anxious about what you will eat or what you will drink, about your body, what you will put on. Wow. Most of us will say that's what life's made of. What we eat, what we drink, and what we wear. But notice the word anxious there in verse 25. It is an amazing word. I wish you could see the pictures I put on the kids' outline today. I tried to depict it with pictures. And they have the privilege, they can see it. This word simply means the part as opposed to the whole. In other words, parts of you is being drawn in opposite directions. Have you ever heard the phrase, or have you said it, I am going to pieces? That's what this word means. Jesus said, do not go to pieces about your life. The part as opposed to the whole. Where you feel like you're being pulled apart. You feel like you're being drawn in all kind of directions. And you're worrying about this and this and this and this. That's a great word. Don't be pulled apart. So right away, there's hope, right? There's hope. So if Jesus said it, that means, hey, there's hope. I do not have to be pulled apart about what I'm worried about, what I am all encumbered about. Remember the story, was it Martha, when Jesus was in town? And the same word is used. She was anxious about much, and she's, you know, making sure the pitchers are clean and getting the drinks ready and the plates ready in the house. And she gets chewed out. I mean, she chews out the other because they're not caring. And Jesus said, no, she's chosen the best. She's going to come worship me. You're busy, busy, busy. You're anxious. That's what it means. You feel like you're just torn apart. And why do we not have to be anxious? Because, look at verse 25. Is not your life more than food and the body more than clothing? Life that God has given us is so much more than food and drink and clothing. But what dominates our life? Food and drink and clothing. Our lives are designed by God to seek so much more than just my clothes and what I'm going to put in my belly. Now that's important, isn't it? I'm glad every one of you came today with clothes on. Thank you very much. And I'm sure you're thankful as well. And you got to eat, correct? Unless you're fasting. And we have to put liquids in our body. So Jesus is not saying that these things are not important. It's when they jump over what is the most important is where anxiety and problems come. These things are not to be our primary devotion. We are not to be consumed. So now look at this. Again, Jesus, the master teacher. Look in verse 26. Here is the second command in the passage. Just the words in the ESV, look at. That's the command. So Jesus commands us to look at something. Okay, what does he tell us to look at? Look at the birds of the air. What? I want to tell you that psychiatrists and doctors would laugh Jesus off this planet today. What do you mean? Look at the birds. You walk into Jesus' study and you say, Jesus, I am worried about my kids. I'm worried about my health. I'm worried about my job. I'm worried about my this and my that, and I'm being torn apart and I can't sleep. And Jesus looks at you and says, let's go outside to my backyard a minute. I want you to look at that bird over there. This guy's a quack. What? The word look here means to lock in your gaze, to look in a sustained and concentrated way. Jesus says, I want you to just stop and lock in to the birds. You ever do that in your front yard? You got bird feeders? Aren't they beautiful? Oh, my goodness. If I was going to start a football team and try to pick the colors, I would just go through a magazine and all kinds of birds and animals and find some beautiful colors and combinations, and that'd be the color of my team. Oh, it'd be wild, wouldn't it? Aren't they beautiful? You ever just watch them? Aren't they amazing? Look at the birds. And notice what he says. What do the birds do? What are we to look at? They neither sow nor reap, nor do they gather into barns. I know at our house, we put food out in the yard for them. And if you eat popcorn the night before, you don't eat it all. You throw the popcorn out there. And if in your house, it's like our house, you have the bread you didn't eat on time and it starts turning green. Birds don't care if it's green. You throw it out in your yard. And the birds come and they eat it. And then God just provides for them over and over. Look at the birds. So what's the point? End of verse 26. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He gives these little birds exactly what he wants them to have. Here's the main point. Are you not of more value than they? Bingo. The master teacher, the master counselor, the wonderful counselor, nailed it right there. This is why I want you to look at the birds. Look how my Father feeds them. And I want you to know you are more important to my Father than those birds. And look how he takes care of them. You're valuable to your Father. And look at verse 27. He adds something else. And which of you, by being anxious, by being pulled apart, by being ripped apart, can add a single hour to his span of life? Some Greek scholars translate this, or even, I think it's a cubit or 18 inches to your height. Either way is pretty tough, right? Either way. So you're going to be anxious and you're going to worry. Can you add an extra minute to your life by worrying? How many of you can walk here today and say, you know, I should have died when I was 43, but I'm 64 now because I've been worrying and I've been adding to my lifespan because of my worry? If that were true, you'd walk in, you'd have wrinkles and you'd look like you've been smoking for 50 years, 30 packs a day. Ripped apart. Because stress and worry will not extend your life, but it will kill it. You ever notice that? Or how about adding 18 inches to your height? I want you to go home today, and I want you to stand in front of the mirror, and I want you to worry about your height and see if you start growing. See if all of a sudden you get taller and your pants start getting shorter. What's Jesus' point? Worry does what? Nothing. Have you ever caught yourself worrying and you go, this is accomplishing nothing. This is accomplishing nothing. My life's not getting any longer. I'm not getting taller. My kid's teacher isn't nicer. My job isn't any better. My health is still the same. In fact, it's getting worse. I still have the hole in the roof or whatever we worry about. Or I don't have. Yeah, here's our problem. We have food and drink and clothing. We just don't have the food and drink and clothing we want. Right? Look at his second command here, which is actually the third command in the passage, verse 28. And why are you anxious about clothing? Now, in Bible days, that was a big deal. They didn't go over to Schnucks or Buy High or whatever store you go to. And just walk down the aisle, and every time Kelly goes grocery shopping, I get a text. What kind of cereal do you want? Why? Because there's 4,000 different cereals. We got Special K with chocolate and strawberries and nuts and blueberries and granola bars. I mean, not like that in Bible days. Why? Why are you worrying about what you wear? Here's the command. Considers is the command. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Consider means to look carefully. Now I want you to go out into my backyard, Jesus says. We've looked at the birds for a while. And now I want you to go and look at your flower beds you planted this year. In fact, you planted it 12 years ago and they keep coming up. Isn't that cool? And what do all you green thumb people say when they come up early in the spring and the weather gets warm and it gets freezing? Oh no, they're going to freeze. And you get the blankets like my wife does and you cover them all up. And in Florida, they would spray them with a water hose so they would freeze. Never made sense to me, but it worked. Kept the temperature. It's amazing. Looked pretty too. So Jesus says, come over here a minute. And you're going, does this guy even have a degree in psychology and all that? What is he doing? Who does he think he is? The creator of my heart and my soul and my mind and my body? Who does this Jesus? Come here, let's look at these flowers. Aren't they pretty? Smell one. And all of a sudden, while you're looking at the flowers, you see something in the distance. It looks like a little pack of little tiny people. They're walking towards you. And it's sort of about 50 roses who are walking with shovels and picks and insecticide. And these roses are actually alive and they're walking. And they're grumbling. I can't believe we got to work so hard to do this. Can you believe this? You don't see that at all, do you? Because they don't labor. They don't toil. They don't spin. They do nothing. And look at what my Father does for them. They're beautiful. Aren't they beautiful? Isn't it amazing God's beautiful creative design abilities and the variety of God?
Man, I'm glad all of us today didn't come with just a white shirt and black pants. Isn't variety nice? God's a God of variety and beauty. So he says, I want you to consider the birds, and I want you to look at these lilies. And they're growing. They don't punch a time clock. They don't worry. But notice verse 29. Another yet. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory wasn't even arrayed like one of these. Solomon, probably the richest man that ever lived, some think, who was just abundantly blessed, partly because of what his father David did and God's blessing, had gold and silver, and although silver wasn't that great back then, he had everything. Was it the Queen of Sheba just took a trip over there just to see? Anybody ever driven to your house just to see where you live? Wouldn't that shock you? I just had to see where you live. Wow. You mean you sleep in that bed? Wow. No. But she did. And she said, it's amazing. It's just what I've heard, your wisdom and your wealth. Why are you worrying about what you wear? Walked into the jail Monday night and had a shirt on. It was untucked and just blue jeans. And guy starts critiquing what I look like. Just starts critiquing me. You know, and he's sitting there and, you know, you got your shirt untucked, but you need some Levi 501 jeans on. That's what you need to really look good. I'm glad I didn't say what I was thinking. Because I wanted to say, ha ha, you're in here and I'm not. But I didn't. Thank goodness. You get killed if you say that in jail. You know. And it was funny, his expressions. He said, you mean it's kind of okay, but you got to have the five. And he was doing all kinds of 501 jeans, you look good. And I was just going crazy. I'm thinking, what in the world? And you know what I said? You know, I'm thinking, you stupid idiot. But I said, I got a couple of 501s in my closet my wife just bought me. Like, yeah, I'm okay. I got 501 jeans. He brought me right in. He sucked me right into his philosophy. Didn't he? Boy, we need help. Well, I know I do. What are you worrying about what you're clothed with? Remember when the schools came out with kids have to all wear khaki pants and a whatever shirt? Polo, is it shirt? Oh, no. No. It's like, no. And then remember when they changed. Sorry, Dave. Were you a part of that?
No.
Oh, good. Good. And then remember they changed the rules a couple years ago, right at the last minute, and people already bought the stuff, and at least in Evansville, it was like, I'll kill the EVSC. I remember that, you know, but think of all those girls who, Mackenzie, you know, they spend hours getting ready. I remember when I was in high school, I'd go out and run in the morning. Sometimes I wouldn't even take a shower. You know? I had enough oil in my hair to comb it just fine. Get in there and... Well, once I met Kelly, I might have taken a shower, but, you know, hey, this is the clothes. You ever look at your yearbook, the clothes you wore? That's a sad, sad thing. My bell bottoms, you could have put five teenagers in them, I think. Why are you worrying about clothes? Look how I've clothed. But notice verse 30. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, and which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven. He's talking about flowers and vegetation that would die, so the ladies would cut them up, pull them up, and they would use them as kindling for their cooking. God takes care of these beautiful flowers, and they're here today, and then once they kind of die out, and they're thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you? And then look at the dagger. Oh, you of little faith. You know what Jesus is saying? You're of great value. You're of great value to my Father. He loves you. He cares for you. He feeds those little bitty birds. And look at the roses and the lilies and the sunflowers that come up and they just say, I'm here, look at me, right? Look at the beauty. Why do you go to the zoo? To admire God's creation. My Father takes care of them, you are so much more valued than they are. And your lifespan goes forever. And I think he's saying, you just aren't trusting my great care for you. Second point, your father knows what you need and will provide it. Verses 31 to 33. Your father knows what you need. We've kind of already seen that, haven't we? Notice there in verse 31, we have another therefore. So now, because of what I just said, my father cares for birds, my father clothes the flowers, you're much more valuable. Because you are so much more valuable to my father than all of these things that he takes care of, now I'm going to tell you some more stuff based upon that stuff. And here for the second time, he says, do not be anxious. And I think it's interesting here that in verse 25, do not be anxious was an imperative. This is not an imperative. It's a subjunctive which expresses wish and desire. Now, I am by no means a Greek scholar. Trust me, I'm in kindergarten when it comes to this. But I asked myself, why did he not use the imperative there? And I think a lot of times it's because the writer and the author, Jesus, now he's expressing, not only am I commanding you, this is my heart desire for you. Please don't worry. It's more of a deep, heartfelt, this is my wish, this is my desire. I'm not just commanding you, but I want this for your life. Therefore, because you are valuable to my Father, do not be pulled apart saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? So now Jesus introduces us to an element we cannot leave off, and here's where I think I fail and we fail. He introduces us to the element of seeking as related to worry. Look in verse 32a. For the Gentiles seek, present active indicative, for the Gentiles are seeking continually after all those things. What things? Eating, drinking, and being clothed. Gentiles, which would be the uncircumcised, those who are the heathen unbelievers who have not responded to God's grace, who don't know God, who have no part in the covenant. Paul in Ephesians says they are without God, without hope in this world. These people, and he's making the clear distinction between God's followers and the devil's followers, even if they don't know they're the devil followers. Unbelievers, unconverted, this is what their life is consumed about, eating, drinking, and clothing. These are the things that dominate their life, their goals, their objectives, and their pursuits. I go to work to get food, to get drink, to get clothing, and maybe a boat, and maybe a car, and maybe a gun, and maybe a blah, 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 blah. You can have a boat, but what are we consumed about? And I think it's fascinating that Jesus is making a very clear distinction here. There's a difference between my followers and those that aren't my followers. And it can let us know, am I his follower or not? Seeking that strong desire. But notice in 32b, it's the opposite. So he says, first of all, the Gentiles are seeking after all of those things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. What's the all? It goes back to what shall we eat, what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? So I want you, Jesus says, to trust my Father knows what you need. He knows what you need. Yeah, I wasn't going to share this. In fact, I was telling Bill Reitacher last week. It was an interesting story. Because preachers aren't supposed to talk about themselves, right? So I'm going to break the rule. But this just popped. The Father knows what you need. We had something about a couple months ago when there was a need to give, and it was one of those, you ever had those weeks when everything's tight and you're going every week? You know, you have those weeks, and so we wanted to give, and we didn't give all that much, but we gave a certain amount. And so just gave that. And so I went running that day, or the day, it was the day after. And I ran up by Berry Plastics up by the airport. It's always fun running by the airport. You know, you might catch a ride. No. But and I ran up there, and I always, when I get to the very top where their huge warehouse is, I usually stop and kind of look at the airport a minute, you know. And so when I turned around to run back home, I saw something that caught my eye, and it was a certain bill. You know, the kind you can spend? And I looked and went, whoa, that's pretty cool. Then I have to do this number. You know. So I picked it up, and I think I had a jacket that day. I think it was still a little chilly, so I put it in my jacket and went, that's cool. I ran a little bit further, and now my eyes are looking. And there's another bill. I picked it up. Those two bills were the exact amount of the money we gave. So now I'm running them back home going, whoa! That hurt my leg. Did you get the idea? And more than that little amount of money, it was like, wow. Wow. Isn't it neat when God shows you he's there? Now, he's always there, right? But are you like me? It's good to have a little reminder. Isn't that neat? Why are you worrying about this stuff? That's what Gentiles pursue. Your father knows that you need them. He knows everything that you need. So now he gives us what kingdom followers are to do. And this is the answer for anxiety. But, see that but in verse 33? But, here's a contrast. Seek. This is a command. Present tense. But continually seek, pursue, devote your life, the kingdom of God. I left out a word, didn't I? But seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God. Our seeking is different. It's not that we don't go to work. It's not that we don't have needs. It's not that we're to get up and say, you know what, God, you said I'm not to worry about this stuff. So you know what, I'm not going to go to work. I'm just going to lay in bed all day and you'll give it to me. No, 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 no. That's what the Thessalonians were doing. Hey, let's go up and sit on a mountain and wait for Jesus to return. Then Jesus said, Paul said, if you don't work, you don't eat. Get busy. But kingdom followers are to be pursuing first God's kingdom and his righteousness. I think all those things we've been talking about. Wow. Blessed are. We've looked at those and salt and light and not hating people in our heart and not lusting and seeking to be not to be divorced and to have one heart for one woman, one heart for one man and to be careful that we tell the truth and that we love our enemies and we don't retaliate and giving and fasting and praying just for Jesus, not for ourselves, and laying up treasures in heaven. That's what we are to seek, is to be first in our lives. Not just, I'm never going to worry again, but no, seek. Because our worry is directly related to if we're seeking treasures on earth or treasures in heaven. You cannot separate. So Jesus says, your seeking is to be different, much different. So it's a great question, isn't it? What's our life's strongest desire? What are we consumed over? What dominates your life? What's our goals? What's our objective? And we'll apply those in a second. And look, notice the promise here. And all these things, what things? What you eat, what you drink, and what you wear will be added to you. And we think God doesn't provide because we want him to give us the Rolls Royce, not the Chevette. I think Bill and I both had a Chevette at one time, correct? Mine was a yellow Chevette. I called it my banana car. Thing got me around to it. Blew up one day. I mean, it blew up. Our problem is we want not what God wants us to have. And you know what? This is a promise that God will hold. All these things will be added to you. And it might just be one loaf of bread for 7 days. And if that's what God wants you to have, you'll have it. You might be in India and being beaten and persecuted, and they won't even sell you anything in the market. And God says, you seek me first, I will provide. You might not have the palace on the hill or whatever. And all of us have been there, right? You work with people who are as wicked as the day is long, and we are no better than they. Only by God's grace do we have what we have. But boy, they get the promotion, they get the raise, they have the nicest this or that, right? I have one theory about that. Their credit line is just bigger than yours, probably. Think so? Third point before we apply real quick. And I love this. Your father has already been to tomorrow. Oh, look in verse 34. Therefore is there again. Therefore, because of what you are seeking first, believing in the promise, I'll give you everything you need. Therefore, because you are much more valuable than the birds and the flowers, and I take care of those. And therefore, don't be anxious because you're living for treasures on heaven and not on earth, and your eye is singly devoted, and your master is Jesus. All of them go together. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow. You know, the song says, the sun will come out tomorrow. It may not come out tomorrow, especially in Evansville this time of the year, right? And we get all excited. The sun will come out tomorrow, tomorrow. I love you tomorrow. You know what I think most of us probably think? I hope tomorrow don't get here. I'm not looking forward to tomorrow. Do you think one of the greatest things we worry about is tomorrow? I do. So what does Jesus say? Therefore, because of everything I said, do not worry about tomorrow. Don't be pulled apart about tomorrow. And again, this is not a command. It's a wish and a desire from the depths of his heart. His commands are from the depth of his heart. But this is more of a putting his arm around us and saying, don't worry because you are seeking me. And don't worry about clothes and eating and drinking. And don't even worry about what will come tomorrow. Why? I have already been there. Woo! I forgot we don't get excited. I've already been to tomorrow. Any of you ever been to tomorrow yet? You're worrying about it, but you've never been there. Do you get grace for tomorrow today? We might debate that, but maybe the answer is yes and no, but I personally think we get the grace when we need it. We stand in salvation grace, but that living, powerful grace. Don't worry. Tomorrow will be anxious for itself. There's enough tomorrow that we're going to have to apply these principles again tomorrow, correct? So in other words, I can't just say, I'm going to seek God today, and then tomorrow go, I got her down pat. Never going to worry again, never going to fret again. Tomorrow's got more problems, so continue to do the therefores. Seek and seek and seek and seek and seek. Because I'm the God of tomorrow. Just some short applications. Number one, and these are all what worry says. Worry says God doesn't know what he's doing, right? Isn't that what worry says? God, you blew it. You blew that one. You promised me this, 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 and this, and this. If I do this, 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 and this, and you didn't do it. Worry basically says God doesn't know what he's doing. Did you notice God in these verses? Did you see God? He's in control of birds. You go out there today and control a bird. Do it. Go to your front yard and just say, bird, I'm calling you Fred. From now on, you're Fred. Come here, bird. What's a bird going to do? Fly away. He's going to ignore you. And if he does talk, he'll say, you're nuts. Isn't he not in control of the flowers, the length of our life, and even tomorrow? Worry says that's not God. God does not control the birds. He doesn't control the flowers. He doesn't control your life. And he has no idea what's going to happen tomorrow. God is just hoping that tomorrow will work out okay for his creation. I just hope. I just hope when my child goes to work tomorrow that I didn't forget something. Be honest, we live like that, don't we? Be honest. I just hope that I can control that mean boss tomorrow. And we act like that about God with salvation too. God's in heaven. Oh, I just hope they get saved. That is not the God of the Bible. He chooses and calls people and gives them life. He doesn't sit up there and go, oh, I just hope. If that were true, we're all going to hell. He knows what he's doing from a blade of grass to the minute details of our life, even the details that haven't shown up yet. He's a big God, and he knows what he's doing. But worry says, God, you don't know what you're doing. Now, I'll be honest, there's a lot of times I don't have a clue what I'm doing. How about you? That's why we pray. I like Psalm 115, verse 3. Our God is in the heavens. He does all that he pleases. He is not some wimp in heaven. And let me read quickly Isaiah 40. These are great verses. Verse 25. To whom then will you liken and compare me, God says, that I should be like him, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. He brings out their host, the stars by number. He calls them by name, by the greatness of his might and because he is strong in power. Not one of them is missing. So when you go out at night and look at the stars, you know what? You know why they're there? Because God knows them by name. He put them there. He keeps them there. And he knows what he's doing. And he knows what he's doing in our life. Second thing, worry says, God doesn't care about me. What's verse 26 say? Are you not of more value than they? And verse 30, will he not much more care for you? To value is distinguished to prove what is superior. But worry says, God doesn't care for me. Again, I'm spending my time taking care of birds and flowers. You're so much more important to me than them. Do you think I don't care about you? Can't you see that? And what was God's greatest act of love? But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So God sent his son, beat him, whipped him, spit upon him, cursed him, put a crown of thorns on his head, a spear in his side, put him on the cross, nailed him on the cross. He's the laughingstock of the world, and he was in pain beyond any description. He bore the sins of those who would come to him. And he did that for us, but he's going to forget that you go to work tomorrow. He's going to forget you have this problem and this concern. To do that for us and then, no. See, worry says God doesn't care. I know our struggle. And here's what I think it is. I believe that God cares about others, but just not me. Third, worry says God doesn't provide for me. Isn't it amazing? Verse 26, your heavenly Father feeds them. Verse 30, will he not much more clothe you? Verse 32b, your heavenly Father knows that you need all of these things. Verse 33b, all these things will be added to you. But worry says God doesn't provide. Repeatedly, he makes the promise, I do provide. I do provide. And again, I think we've already said it, we struggle because our desires are not God's desires. So we don't think God provides because he didn't give us what we want to have. We want to have. The last one, worry says God is not being sought. And that's the one we need to listen to. Well, all of those, but when we worry, we can take it to the bank. We're not seeking God. I have not arrived. You have not arrived, but there's hope. And we want our worry and our being ripped apart to just go away. If I could take a pill to make it go away, if I could drink that special drink to make it go away, if I could buy that special thing to make it go away, we'd do it. But that's not the answer. The answer is seeking the kingdom. And we do everything except what Jesus said. Do you ever find yourself worrying and fretting about life and you found your energy for God zapped? Don't feel like going to church? You would not believe how many people in the last 25 years I've been preaching, when tough times come to life, instead of coming to the house of God and begging God's people to pray for them and opening up their heart and saying, I need help, they just stop coming and they just give up and they quit. So I know the feeling of wanting to quit, but I don't understand that. And Jesus says, here's the answer. You're not seeking me because feelings are dominating your life. And what does Jesus say here? Seek first the kingdom of my Father. First. You know, I wrote this in my notes. This is a phrase we would do well to meditate and examine for a long while. Wouldn't it? Am I really seeking the kingdom first? Whoa. If God were to make our list from 1 to 10, where would that be? Where would seeking him and the kingdom be on our list, my list? And Jesus didn't say this passage just to help us to stop worrying so we could feel good. Man, I am loving life. It's so that we would seek his kingdom first. We know worry is a waste of time. We know that it's a waste of time because God loves and promises to provide, but it steals away our seeking. Before we land the plane, here's two things I thought of. Here's what I think is the norm in human beings. Here's what we say. If God gives and blesses, I will seek him. If God gives and he blesses me, then I will seek him. And I made a list of things here. I will seek him if I feel like it. Just between you and God, how many of us live by feelings? How many of us have feelings just dominate what we do? I don't feel like it, so I don't do it. That's kind of what we're taught, aren't we? I'll seek God if I feel like it. I'll seek God if all my conditions are met. I'll seek God if it matches my schedule. I'll seek God if I get something out of it. I'll seek God if there's not something else I'd rather be doing. I'll seek God if it isn't hard. Well, you might as well quit because it's hard. It is very hard. And we're going to get to that passage, aren't we? The way of life, few find it, and it's very hard. It's hard. You're swimming upstream. You're running against the wind. That's the only two I can think of. I'll seek God if it isn't hard or if it's difficult, but if he requires for me to do anything that's going to be tough, then I'm just going to float through. I'll seek God if it doesn't take me out of my comfort zone. I'll seek God if it doesn't require that I sacrifice my time, my money, my effort, what I want. I'll seek God if I'm appreciated and I get recognition. Then I'll seek him. That's not what Jesus said. He said, here's the answer for worry. You seek my kingdom first. Where's the pill? Where's the comfort food? Where's my new it? That'll make me feel good. Oh, it will for a while. Here's what we should be saying. I will seek God first, and I will trust in his love, his care, his provisions, and the fact that he even controls tomorrow. Tomorrow. So here's the conclusion. We've learned that anxiety is directly related to what our treasure is, what our eyes looking at, and what our master, or who our master is. You cannot separate it. You can guarantee if you're worrying and fretting that you have failed and I have failed, verses 19 to 24. That our treasure is on earth, our eye is full of darkness, and our master is money or something else. Guaranteed. That's why we're all there for us. So here, I want to encourage today. If you are seeking today, that's you, stay on the path. Don't jump off the path. Keep seeking. Keep seeking. Keep seeking. Keep seeking. If you're not on the path, get on it. And believe the words of Jesus, especially if you struggle with worry and fear. And maybe if eating and drinking and clothing is too important to you, confess that sin and begin to seek God's kingdom first. So let's finish with my thesis statement. I can seek God with all my being, knowing that he will take care of me. Father, I know Jesus would be laughed at today. He really would. He couldn't get a PhD. He wouldn't speak in the great halls of learning, which in my opinion, many of them are the great halls of stupidity because they do not reflect the holy, inerrant, inspired
words from the very breath of you, Father. So, Lord, as I think of my own life, and I was worrying yesterday. I was worrying this morning. Lord, what's the matter with us? Oh, how we need help. I pray, Lord, as you have brought this congregation to this study and these verses today, that your Holy Spirit would do what I cannot do, illuminate error in our hearts, illuminate the sin of worry. And in these next few minutes, if we've not been doing already, that we'd confess, we'd repent, we'd ask for help. We'd begin to make better decisions. And help us to just truly believe this is the answer for being pulled apart and ripped apart in this life. To devote my life to Jesus Christ, God the Father, His kingdom, and His righteousness. It is so opposite, Lord, but help us to believe it and to live it. So as we sing, I pray, Spirit of God, that you would enter into our minds, our hearts, or I hope you've been doing that already. And I pray you'd stir us. And somehow help us to believe how much you love us. How much you care for us. And how much you provide. And that you've put us here until the work on earth is done, seeking you. So in hope, we close this prayer.